Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
I'm speaking about more and more and more and more and more wisdom. How many know we need more wisdom? Seems like when we look at society today, we look at the culture, we look at what's happening in our legislature, we look what's happening with the political scene, we need more wisdom. So where does it come from? Because you can teach people skills. You can teach them skills, but wisdom is formed in the heart. That becomes the greatest challenge. James 5:5 says, "You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgences. Your skills have enabled you to fulfill your desires." Skills enable us to do the things that we think are really what we want to do. Yet we wonder why over the years, sometimes we don't grow spiritually like we should. James says, "Come, weep, for your calamity is coming. You fattened yourself in the day of your slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you." This is really an allusion to what the prophet Isaiah was saying about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53. He was oppressed, afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. Everyone knew Jesus was being treated unfairly. James is saying that you're like Herod, or maybe you're like Pilate. Now, how are these innocent men James is speaking about, how are they being killed? They were treated so badly that never in 1,000 years would they ever want to hear about the gospel, because they were treated so poorly. They didn't have ears to hear the good news. They would end up in hell because the gospel, which could have saved them, was rejected because of the way that they were treated. That's the way they were killing them. Is there someone who will never become a Christian because of the kind of witness that we have been? Is there someone that maybe we didn't treat correctly? They'd rather go to hell than dignify what we believe. This is an admonition for all of us to live a life beyond reproach. Can I get an amen? People that know we're Christians expect something different from us. They expect something different. The problem came up many times even in the New Testament. Paul and Peter addressed this issue in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. "Slaves, submit yourself to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh." And you know as well as I do, one of the greatest trials as a Christian that we can encounter is being mistreated by another Christian. That's one of the greatest trials we face. But this really gives us an opportunity to act like Jesus. Sometimes we don't see it that way, but it's an opportunity. Jesus was mistreated not by sinners, but by the religious. And he was mistreated by them. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." He didn't respond in kind. This kind of behavior can only operate when great grace flows through our lives. We need wisdom and great grace in our life. Now, James chapter 5, he turns to those who have been mistreated and he said, if you're being mistreated, even if it's by a Christian, be patient. Then, brothers, be patient, because you know the Lord's coming soon. He's coming soon. When we're mistreated, how long do we have to wait? When we're going to get, it seems like, what we don't deserve, how long a time, how much patience do we have to exercise to get through it? Justice is never blind, but there is no promise that you're going to get justice until Jesus returns. No promise until Jesus returns. If we're truly spiritual, we can put our personal justice into the Lord's hands. Lord, I commend myself to you. But it takes great grace to say, I'm waiting for you, Lord. We always want to question, why is it taking so long? And James reminds that those who are going through trials, that there is coming a judgment day. And you that have suffered with our Lord and you've taken it patiently, you will be rewarded because you are qualified now to speak as a prophet, as I mentioned in the previous sermon. Persecution, it qualifies you when you take it correctly to speak prophetically. James is saying to the Christians who are suffering, you've not complained, you've looked to the Lord like Job, like Elijah, and you have remained faithful. And Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There's no temptation that has taken you, but as such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation, he'll also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And the God of all grace who called you to this eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. See, trials are designed to make you strong. James says in 5, 7, and 8, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Plants today, you put them in the ground, you don't expect to wake up tomorrow and have a harvest. I wish it was that way. But it doesn't work. The farmer has learned that he has to wait patiently. Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. He doesn't just wait, but he waits expectantly. Waiting to see something happen. Knowing that there's coming a latter rain. We've been praying for a latter rain. We've been praying for a revival. We've been praying for much fruit that God's going to bring into the kingdom. Deuteronomy 11, 14 says, then I will send a rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and oil. Spiritually, we're believing for a great outpouring for souls to come into the kingdom of God. Joel 2:23 says it this way, be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness, and he sends you abundant showers, both autumn, spring rains as before. Rain is precious and necessary. If the latter rain didn't come, the fruit would not swell. But when the latter rain comes, the fruit swells. We're looking for a swelling, a winning of more and more souls. James' point is that rain is vital and it's good for fruit. Rain represents the Holy Spirit who strengthens our faith in the midst of trials and makes us fruitful. It's the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to be strong in the Spirit. The enemy uses trials to get us focused on the physical realm. God wants us focused on the spirit realm. The enemy tries to get us focused on everything that's happening outside. First, he gets you to despise, even hate, something that's physical. Maybe someone's words or someone's actions, something that's outside of you. One reason we know our nation is in trouble is so many have stopped making decisions based on biblical principles, and now they're making decisions based on their emotions, on their desires, and on their perceived pain. That's what this nation is doing. And James says these things are going to come and happen, but God wants you to be strong in the Spirit. Then the enemy begins to turn your decisions based on the physical into a hatred towards the spiritual. He changes it so you have a hatred towards God. We see it happening on the news. We see it happening everywhere in society today. James says Christians are driven by their desires and their appetites rather than by the Spirit. Should not be that way. We need to be people strong in the Spirit. God always ministers in the spiritual realm first. He always does. And then the spiritual realm begins to affect the physical realm. The spiritual realm is what developed America as a great nation. It was the spiritual realm. That's where God begins in. So instead of reacting from our emotions and from our natural desires, we learn to react from the Spirit, and we begin to be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. Notice in Luke chapter 1 and verse 80, this is speaking about John the Baptist. And the child grew, and he became strong in the Spirit. And he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Strong in the Spirit. We know that John was filled with the Spirit in his mother's womb, because when Mary, Jesus' mother, came to visit Elizabeth, John's mother, the Bible says John leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit herself. And we know that John was a prophet. You talk about the trials that he went through. He was even beheaded because he was a prophet. But he had a full scholarship. He had a full scholarship to the greatest school ever. He was a part of the priesthood because his father, Zechariah, was a priest. So he had a full scholarship to the priesthood, but rather he chose to be a prophet to live in the desert. And it cost him his life. Jesus himself, as a child, was strong in the Spirit. John the Baptist was strong in the Spirit. Jesus said there was none greater in the Old Testament than John the Baptist because of his strength in the Spirit. Jesus was strong in the Spirit. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew, became strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You see, both John and Jesus became strong in the Spirit before they entered into the ministry. They entered into the ministry at the age of 30 years old, but they were strong in the Spirit before they began. Strong in the Spirit is a biblical concept. It comes from God's Word. It's not something I'm making up. This is from God's Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 2, Paul says, I first gave you milk. First thing I gave you was milk, not solid food. You are not ready for solid food yet. Indeed, you're still not ready for solid food. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 14. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You see, there is milk. This is the stuff we really like. We really like milk. I mean, it's comfort food. I can still remember my younger brother. He would rather have a bowl of cereal with milk in it than a solid steak. Even before he went to bed, he was always eating cereal with milk. He just loved cereal and milk. There's something about milk. I even like milk, chocolate milk. Come on, rich, thick chocolate milk. I'm salivating already just thinking about it. Something we like about milk. It's just something that's really comforting. Meat, this is what brings change to our life. Milk brings brings comfort. Meat brings change. Meat addresses the things that we have to yield to the Lord. That's what meat does. The righteousness of God has to come from the heart that's been formed by trials and strengthened by the Spirit. And the meat brings us to that place. You have to have a strong spirit if you're going to choose to follow Jesus. Because some of the choices that we have to make, we're going to have the strength and the nourishment that comes from the meat of the Word. Last Sunday, I preached on tithing. talked a lot about it. It's meat. It's really not milk. And I guarantee you that if you would start studying about tithing, if you on your own would go to the Bible, to the meat of the word, and if you started studying about God's word, about giving and tithing, if you started eating it, you would begin to have a hunger and a desire to give. That's what happens. It changes you. When you study the word, it moves you. It changes you. The living word, his presence, brings a change in our desire. In fact, if you pray and it doesn't change you, then you're not praying, you're just complaining. It changes us. But when our desires are changed by the word, we change. And his presence begins to grow strong. And the spirit begins to grow within us, leaps and bounds. The truth is, we are not clever enough to know the reasons why we go through trials. We are not clever enough. You ask anyone who's lost a loved one. You ask anyone who's lost a child. You can't figure it out. Trials come. We can't figure them out, why they happen. Why are we tempted? Why do these things come? But when they do, sometimes we're tempted to complain. Sometimes we're even tempted to ask why. As a Christian, we really should come to the place where we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to grow strong in your spirit. This is an opportunity, Lord, for us to grow stronger than we've ever been before. If the farmer can wait for maturity of the harvest, so should we. We should be able to wait upon the Lord. James says in chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face any trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. You have everything. You're strong in the spirit, lacking absolutely nothing. Having fellowship with one another is something that strengthens us too. It's a wonderful thing when we get up and we shake hands with each other. Having true fellowship, not oppressing one another, but fellowshipping with one another. We really need it in these last days to fellowship with one another. Some of you Christians that are really strong in the spirit, you need to fellowship with weaker ones. You hear me? Sometimes we stay together with strong Christians and we gather together, but if you're strong in the Lord, you need to gather together with weaker Christians. And you that are strong in the Lord, you need to gather together with stronger than you are Christians. It's within this tension between the strong and the weak, this tension, it's where we begin to find strength within ourselves as we live within this tension, hearing from others and listening to others and the fellowship that somebody has gone through something. There's a strength that begins to grow, and all of a sudden we begin to see maybe the folly of our own ways, and we begin to change. We begin to become more like Jesus, and we help one another. We fellowship with one another. We learn from each other. We become wise enough to confess our sins to one another. We become wise enough to realize our folly. And when we do that, we bring strength to one another. We build ourselves up in the spirit, in the fellowship. God wants us to be strong in the spirit so that we can deal with the trials of life. How many know we have trials of life? Think about the trials that Jesus bore. Just think about it from the physical level. Spitting on him, mocking him, purple robe put upon him. And if he would have failed in any of the trials that he went through physically, God's plan would have failed. If he would have failed in any one of the physical trials he went through, they beat him within inches of his death, then they crucified him. And Jesus, if he would have reviled back, Satan would still have the keys to death and the grave. But he didn't revile back, thank God. He opened not his mouth, and Satan had to relinquish the keys to the gates of hell. He suffered at his trial, but the worst was yet to come. But the physical suffering didn't compare with the spiritual suffering. On the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He endured. Why? Because he was strong in the Spirit. He was strong, full, without measure of the Spirit. I have often seen that just before God brings a blessing your way or my way or anyone's way, before God brings the blessing, Satan works to do something, to get us to do something. He's always working. Something that will grieve the Spirit. Something that will cause us to lose the blessing. Just before God's ready to pour out a mighty blessing upon us. I wish I could tell you that every new Christian, I wish I could say each one of you that are brand new, that you can know God by reading your Bible. You can know God by praying. You can know God by coming to church. I wish I could tell you that's all you need to do. And all of those things are good. But doing those things doesn't mean you're going to grow to become a real disciple. I want you to know you're going to have trials. You're going to face trials. How you react to those trials will determine how you grow spiritually. That's what James is trying to help us understand. How we react to these trials develop the strength of the Spirit so that we can respond correctly. So that we can be like Christ Jesus. How you endure them, staying strong in the Spirit, is what really matters. That's why we put so much emphasis on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because you're all going to face trials, and you need to have strength of spirit. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Notice, I'm not holding it against them. Not holding it at all. He's standing alone. No one's with him. He could have used some fellowship. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. There's the strength of the Spirit, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Strength in the Spirit. You can do so many things, but God wants us as Christians to be strong in the Spirit, like Jesus, John the Baptist, to be filled strong so that we can stand the tests in these last days. Let's pray. Father, you have showed us your unfailing love and the great salvation that you have granted to us. We have heard you say that you have promised so many things to your faithful service. Do not let us turn to folly, Lord, but let us be strong. Let us follow the salvation with fear and trembling. Let your glory fill our hearts so it may fill this land. Let our lives, Lord, be meaningful. Let the love and faithfulness that we have with one another and with you, Lord, may this righteousness and peace kiss each of us, Lord, so that we may grasp a greater understanding of the trials that come our way that build us strength in the Spirit. Because your faithfulness, Lord, will spring forth from the earth as we are faithful to what you have done. Even as you have created this world by the Spirit, so create within these earthen vessels the wonderful gift that will bring a harvest to this land that we live in. God bless America. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me as Pastor Ken leads us in a chorus.
Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit,
Our faith in the midst of trials and really makes us fruitful. So, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will do just as you said. You will fall in the latter days and bring about a strength and fruit that will be pleasant to those that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org.
Hard to believe in. Am I myself or am I just